1000-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 27th of May, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And 8 minutes after the hour, it's time for news, views, stuff you can use. You know the numbers, give us a call. We will start with Apple. On May 24th, they released patches for 17 vulnerabilities, spanning a host of technologies and a slew of potential unpleasantness, from system takeover to denial of service to password snatching. The patches can be downloaded automatically by enabling software update, or they can be downloaded at Apple's download site. One of the worst bugs found in Core Graphics on Mac OS X version 10.4.9 and Mac OS X Server version 10.4.9 can lead to system capture or the application shutting down. This vulnerability doesn't infect systems earlier than Mac OS X version 10.4. Core Graphics is graphics technology. The name is often used interchangeably with the term Quartz, which actually refers to two Mac OS X technologies found within the Core Graphics framework. Another bad bug exists in the file command line tool in Mac OS X version 10.3.9, Mac OS X Server version 10.3.9, Mac OS X version 10.4.9, and Mac OS X Server version 10.4.9. Huh? I know how much you Mac people love your numbers, so there they are.
That figures.
This vulnerability manifests itself when running the file command on a maliciously crafted file, which can then lead to an application quitting or a system being taken over. There are also vulnerabilities in the alias manager, bind, cron tabs, fetch mail, iChat, MDNS responder, PPP, Ruby screen, text info, and VPN. So if you have not yet updated your Mac, update your Mac now. Now. Sorry. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Couldn't do it a little later?
No, never.
How about in a couple minutes?
Now would be better.
All right.
What part of now are you having the most trouble understanding?
I'm busy.
Which now?
Yeah, right.
Now or now later?
The eternal now or the instant now? Right. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Our first caller is Dennis in Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Dennis. What's your question?
Hi. Last week, for the first time, I used Total Recorder Professional, and I recorded the streaming version of your show. And after I did my editing so that I had the show only, it turned out to be about 72 minutes. And then I went back and checked Steve's thing in the archives, and he was 77 minutes. So why is that different? And I can tell you this, that listening to the streaming, you were getting chopped off as soon as the lead-in music starts or the lead-out music starts to a commercial.
Right.
Your voice was getting chopped off. So what's the deal here? 72 minutes versus 77 minutes and the chopping off of the streaming version.
Well, I'm not entirely certain since we don't run the streaming version. WHAM runs the streaming version. But what it seems is happening is that there is a delay here in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
In case you say something rude that would get our FCC license yanked, we can dump you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Rob has his hand on the button every second that someone is on the line. He's just quiveringly eager to hit that dump button if he has to. He's ready. He's ready.
Poof, you're gone.
Unlike our previous station. if you remember that.
Oh, yes.
We had an incident. But anyway, the deal here is that there is a delay, and I don't know exactly what the length of the delay is, but when they cut to commercials, the commercials come in off delay. I don't know why.
And the other issue is not all of the commercials are fed into the stream. Sometimes
right.
It's just music or
filler.
Right, right.
Stay
so you get
tuned
filler,
the show
and sometimes they're different commercials or whatever that's about. But the point is, they start however many seconds or whatever it is off of the thing. So a part of us gets cut off every time they go to a commercial. And I don't know why it's done that way,
But all their shows are done that way.
Yep. It's not just us. And if you have a question or a problem about that, your best thing to do is to write to the folks at Wham, because there's nothing, we don't control that.
Okay, so basically the streaming version is not going to be, it's going to have pieces missing. But that doesn't account for the 5-minute difference maybe it does account.
Well, you
for
cut
that.
More out of it than I did. Maybe you cut some of the music out that I leave in. Sometimes I forget to edit a commercial out. That's a 4-minute break there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it can add up. I mean, over 2 hours. I mean, you know, a few seconds here, 40 seconds here, there. You know, for everything, you know, it can really add up.
So basically, I have to contact Wham about the fact that you guys are getting chopped. Parts of you are getting chopped up.
Well, it's just not us. Yeah. It's their whole procedure.
It's the entire stream for all of their shows.
It's how they do all their shows. Whether you listen to Lonsberry or Jim Salmon or any of the other programs, they're all going to be that way when they stream.
And it may be something inherent in the way it switches from a live to a delay, mm-hmm. but there should be a way to figure it out.
Right. Okay. It should be doable. They just haven't done it.
Thank you very much.
And it needs action from the community to get that to happen. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you at 14 minutes after the hour at Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 18 minutes after the hour at Sound Bites. Here's a great story. We all hope Argyle is listening. Sam Peterson II was charged with unauthorized use of computer access for using a coffee shop's free Wi-Fi. He is facing a 5-year felony charge and a $10,000 fine, but he got off lucky and received only a $400 fine and 40 hours of community service because he was a first-time offender. It seems few in the village of Sparta, Michigan, were aware that using an unsecured Wi-Fi connection without the owner's permission, a practice known as piggybacking, is a felony. Each day around lunchtime, Sam Peterson would drive to the Union Street Cafe, park his car, and without actually entering the coffee shop, check his email and surf the net. His ritual raised the suspicions of Police Chief Andrew Milanowski, who approached him and asked what he was doing. Peterson, probably not realizing that his actions constituted a felony, freely admitted what he was doing. The officer didn't immediately cite or arrest Peterson, mostly because he wasn't certain a crime had been committed, but he went back and looked it up. It was, in fact, a crime and is, in fact, a crime, and then he went back and arrested him. So
probably at the same coffee shop.
Yeah,
the next day. Yeah. Exactly. So the moral of the story is don't use somebody else's Wi-Fi. It is a felony.
Well,
without their permission.
Their permission.
Right, and this was a free coffee shop for customers only.
So the simple fact that it is open does not satisfy the legal definition of permission.
Right.
Right. You come in, they're offering a product for buying their product. They're offering the free Wi-Fi if you come in and buy a cup of coffee.
It's really a trade.
Yeah. Right.
And there have been a couple of communities. Westchester County was the one big one the CNN report mentioned. We're trying to make it illegal to not encrypt your network.
Right.
But then they decided against that because then they don't want to put the onus on the victim to stop the crime.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Our next caller is Paul from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Good morning. First off, a special thanks to all our veterans.
Absolutely.
The problem I have is I have a HP PhotoSmart all-in-one printer, and I'm using an HP Pavilion desktop, 1.2 gig and 512 RAM. When I try to print a database, I get a notice out of memory, when in fact, when I check the properties, I've got all kinds of memory.
Well, 512 memory isn't very much. The problem is that most of the low-end printers low-end being under $500,
yes,
don't have any memory in the printer, and they depend on your computer for all of their job processing.
Okay.
What type of printer did you say it was?
It's an HP PhotoSmart. PhotoSmart.
Yeah, yeah, it's mostly intended just for photo, so when it's trying to image something else, especially if you said you're printing a database, if you have a lot of forms and formatting on it, it may literally be running out of memory.
I see.
One thing you can try is downloading the latest drivers from HP.
But it the thing that is, so, like you were starting to hit on, though, 512 yeah. meg of memory is not a lot, especially depending on what else is running in that startup toolbar.
The HP isn't known for writing very memory-managed drivers either. They're often bloated and use a lot more memory than you'd think.
Yep. Often what I tell people to do is don't load the HP driver. Let Windows find it. Let Windows use its own driver.
Right.
It will be perfectly adequate for 90% of what you want to do. See, only if it's an all-in-one thing.
Right. Well,
like
see,
his is. That's a problem.
That's the
you
big
need
trick.
All of those
that HP loads their HP Director and the HP Device Manager, and that lets you push the scan button on the scanner, and a little program pops up in your computer.
And all that stuff is running in the toolbar.
Right. So most of the time, you can uninstall all of that all-in-one stuff and load the printing only driver.
Okay.
And then when you want to scan something, open your scanning software yourself. And that can help the memory issue by not using as much memory.
I've been getting around by copying everything to a word processor and then printing it from that.
Right.
Yeah, straight text isn't as memory intensive as a graphic file.
Yeah, I mean, even a line, you know, some folks say, you know, it's just text and some lines. Lines and that are considered a graphic.
I see.
Anytime you put one line across, that's a graphic.
That's a graphic.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you for your help, guys.
Thank you very much. Our next caller is George from Vienna, Virginia.
Yep, that's me. And you guys have a great show. Listen every Sunday.
Thank
cool.
you. Are you listening on the webcast, or are you catching a skip somewhere?
No. On the webcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have to put a pin on our Frapper map.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's the question. I have a desktop hooked up to a cable connection that I'm very happy with, and it runs on XP Home. I also have a wireless router that powers a walkabout laptop, which also runs XP Home. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of adding an older Dell computer in my basement to the wireless network, but two problems. It may have USB 1.0, and it runs on Windows 98 second edition, so I thought I remember reading something where you shouldn't mix and match operating systems on a wireless network.
You can, George, but what I would recommend, since you're running Windows 98 and you've got an older system, and like you said, getting things to work aren't going to, you know, isn't that easy.
Right.
What I would recommend, if you can do it, is run a cable from the router, because usually on the back of the router you can hook up to four computers, hardwire it in. That way you can run the cable down into the old PC, put a network card in the PC.
One,
which is usually going to be cheaper than a USB Wi-Fi card.
It's $15 for a network card.
Right.
It'll work. You know, it'll come with the drivers. It'll run with Windows 98. You make it part of that work group, and you're surfing the internet.
Yeah, it's not specifically that you're mixing OSs. It's that Windows 98 had trouble with USB devices and probably doesn't have any Wi-Fi drivers either.
Right.
But
second
Ethernet
choice,
works really great.
Right. Okay. Second choice would be to actually add a Wi-Fi card. Not a USB Wi-Fi, but again, you run into the problem of driver issues for the Wi-Fi itself.
And
okay,
it's,
guys. Thanks a lot. That's good advice.
Thanks. And don't forget to talk to your local channel. Find out why we're not on locally.
But a network card would be so cheap because you can go to any local store, even in Virginia, and pick one up for about $15. It'll come with the drivers. He plugs it in, and bam, Windows is going to be
assuming it's close enough and, you know, for a good run and interfere with a bunch of other power cables or whatever, and that sort of thing.
Running it straight downstairs usually to the basement.
Well, usually. So that's the. But
your
that's
house would be another issue.
Our house is an issue all in and of itself.
Well, just like mine. They're so old.
Yep.
You know, you're talking lath and plaster and trying to run cables.
Yeah, I'm finding it a lot easier to wireless everything that I want to hook up.
Well, you should.
They have wireless printers now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually a pretty neat idea. Just a printer, put it anywhere you want. It's wireless. Bang, you're done.
Yeah, I just did an all-in-one. An HP all-in-one. And the first setting it up, you have to hook a laptop up to it. But it's got the little antenna on the back. And now it's just broadcast to the whole house.
Isn't that nifty?
Yeah. But the problem is you know, again, you got to lock it down because you could have neighbors printing.
Oh, that happened to me at work one time. We had these people who got a printer set up. And I said, look, we need to lock this down. And for God's sake, don't give it a name with an A because all the Apple machines will find it first and the people will just randomly click on it and print stuff. oh, that won't happen. No, trust me. Oh, no, that won't happen.
Hello.
The first morning they came in, and their 500-sheet tray was empty, and the printer was full of porn. Somebody had printed like their entire porn collection to a random printer on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, and that's the, we see that a lot, too, when people have two printers. Well, how it's not printing to the right one. Well, no, it's printing to the one you told it to.
Right.
Well, I wanted to print to the other one. Well, then you have to tell it to print to the other one.
Right.
So it's not just magically going to know that you meant the printer next to you.
And because they come up alphabetically,
yep.
People who name their printers, you know, with an A Alpha. Are going to be there first. There's yep. no choice in that. That's the way it works.
Well, because they want it to, you know, be at the top of their list. And
right, and suddenly it's at the top of everybody's list. So there's no, but is there a way to set a preferred printer by application, Steve? In
no, it remembers your default printer, and when you switch printers, that now becomes the default printer,
right,
a lot like
right,
Windows.
Right,
yeah,
right. All right, listen, I have to tell you, I can see the mighty Glenn Lambert proudly standing before his microphone there in the newsroom, prepared to bring you the latest and greatest and most important news, weather, sports, all the things you really listen to Wham for. He's laving his throat now with the spray and getting ready, doing his vocal warm-ups. Me, 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 me.
You are so full of beans sometimes. You know that? <It's> just
all right, in that case, we'll be back in a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. This is Glenn Lambert's. He's going to be bringing you all the important stuff. We'll be back on the other side with a whole lot more of the greatest computer show in the known universe at 28 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 33 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbites.
Huey Lewis
Sometimes live, sometimes over the web, sometimes all the way down in Vienna, Virginia.
Who'd you say this was?
Huey Lewis?
No, this is Dave Matthews Band.
Is it?
One of my favorite Dave Matthews Band songs.
A friend of mine has a server full of all of their live shows with their blessing.
Yeah. With their blessing?
Yes.
That's rare.
Yeah. He has all their live
shows. Well, a couple of years ago, that was the big thing. I mean, you know, yeah. People were going out. They were starting to tape these shows. They were putting them up on the internet.
Have you gone to see Chuck Banjo?
No.
That was a good show. I went Friday night.
Did you go?
The three
shows were completely sold out. Okay. They originally had two. Then they added a third. All sold out. Last count, the tickets were going from scalpers and things of that nature for a couple of $100 to get into the Friends and Love
show. It was a phenomenal show.
Was it?
If anybody ought to be able to get a press pass, it's you.
Yeah.
Well, I understand this, but they weren't given anything. Nothing,
yeah,
because they knew they would sell every last one of those seats.
Well, yeah. He even had his mom in the auditorium there, because the one song that he won a Grammy for.
Yeah.
Was dedicated to her and actually named after her.
Well, his brother Gap, of course, is in Rochester. He plays all over the place.
Yeah,
Gapman Jody.
He was there too.
Yeah, he was playing on stage. Yep. It was just unbelievable. Oh, it's cool that they were able to do that.
Yeah.
And of course, the jazz festival's coming up,
which we can't wait for.
Yeah, well, it's going to be unbelievable. They're talking over 100,000 people through the gates this year.
Yeah. Whew. It's going to be great.
It's a lot of music.
This city really has a lot going on.
It really does.
I mean, you know, you start to think about Lilac Festival. And all these other jazz festivals and everything else.
Well,
there's East End festivals.
Mm-hmm. I love this town.
There was a letter to the editor in the paper a few weeks ago, and one of the other radio stations was complaining about the guy who wrote the letter, complaining that the jazz festival doesn't have any jazz anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I you know, it's funny, and this is so off topic, it's not even funny, but that's okay. That's what we do. Anyway.
That's right. Yeah. We don't care.
The people that are putting on the festival are doing it right. Here's the reason why. They're attracting other non-jazz people down to the city, and while they're down here, they'll hang out and enjoy jazz, and who knows, maybe they'll become a fan.
And there's also so many kinds of jazz, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Jerry Lee Lewis, people are like, what?
Yeah.
Are you serious? But when you think about it, Jerry Lee Lewis, from what we hear, is selling very, very, very well. People who've never listened to jazz before are going to come down. They'll hear the live jazz in the streets on the three stages. It makes sense.
Yes, it does.
You know, but you've got these people that are just like, it's not a jazz festival. Okay.
Yeah.
Then don't come.
Then don't come.
Yeah. Stay home.
The three people who won't come will miss out.
That's right.
Get over it. All right, back to computery stuff and nudity. Who doesn't like those two things together? Nudity in the video game. Thank you very much. Nudity in the video game Halo 2 for Windows Vista has pushed back the long-awaited title's official release to the end of the month, Microsoft said on Friday. Microsoft has already released an optional patch to remove the problematic content. This is my favorite paragraph in this story. Originally scheduled to ship on Tuesday, May 22nd, Halo 2 has been delayed to the 31st, so retailers can slap stickers on already in-hand copies. Here it comes. It has come to our attention that an unfortunate, obscure content error, which includes partial nudity, was included in our initial production for Halo 2. It is an obscure content error. It's not nudity. It's a content error. Where are your pants? Oh, I'm sorry. That's a content error. As such, we have the they've updated the initial
page. Because it's code. It's really not real. It's code.
That's right. So they've published a 2-megabyte update. They're slapping stickers on all of the things. However, there's a bunch of places that have actually already sold it, and I can't wait for people to be selling those off and on. This is reminiscent of the 2005 brouhaha over Take-Two's over Take-Two's Grand Theft Auto San Andreas video game and a mod or modification dubbed Hot Coffee that unlocked graphic sex scenes buried in the game's code. That disclosure led to an industry rating board changing the game's rating from M, which is mature 17+, to AO, adults only 18+, and lawmakers, including Senator Hillary Clinton. The sugar's wearing off from my donut. I just hit the wall. Senator Hillary Clinton, Democrat of New York, calling for an investigation. Halo 2 currently carries an M rating. So it is, it's an obscure content error that's going to have 17-year-old kids rushing like mad to the store to grab their copy of Halo 2 without the mod.
The extra irony that I always find in this is no one's cared about the violence and the mayhem and the death and the blood and the gore, but one obscure partial scene of partial nudity and everyone's all up in arms.
This has been true throughout the history of America. You can cut off a breast, that's okay. You can kiss it, that's an X rating.
Yep.
That's
or swear
that's
up and
how
down
we do
like nobody's business.
Sorry, it's truth.
Yep.
All right. Would you like us to go
you
to the phone
You can cut
now?
Off a breast, and that's okay.
Yes.
But you can kiss it, and that's new. Is that what you just said?
And that's an X rating, absolutely.
That is the
true.
New quote of the day
it
in
is
my
also true.
Profile.
Thank you.
Well,
it is also true.
Yes.
There's a classic edit in one of the Conan movies. There was a real tight shot of a love scene, and the ratings board said, "Oh no, that's terrible. That's an X rating." So they went to a wide shot. So now you can't see anything anymore except Arnold humping away.
Can you say humping on the radio?
Which is apparently better.
Which right for the ratings, that's better. But you can see more. You can see obviously what he's doing.
Right.
At the end of the day, it comes back to if you don't want to see it, don't watch it.
That's exactly right.
Well, see, now we're wondering if it would change now that Jack Valenti has passed on and the head of the MPAA, and if the new guy's going to be any laxer.
Laxer. All right, we're being rushed off the air, but we'll be back. I hope. We're going to fight off the censors and come back in just a couple minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 40 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 44 minutes after the hour.
Who's that? You got it, yeah.
It's Sound Bites.
Hey, stay up on. Pretty much most of my music.
Microsoft has said that patches for a Windows Update lockup problem do fix the flaw, even though users still see their computer CPUs maxed out at 100%. As you know, what happened was there was an update that caused the machine to the SVC host and MSI problem caused the machine to peak out at 100% on the update, and therefore you couldn't do anything. It was like you had been locked out of it. If you waited long enough, eventually you'd get it back again, but it could be hours depending on how much updating your system had to do. So people were very upset. So Microsoft has fixed that problem, not by making the system take up less time, but fixing how well it listens to other people. It will still take 100% of your CPU while it's doing its update, but it will also be more responsive to you.
That's an oxymoron.
Well, this
listening?
Is, yeah, this is fine if you're... on a desktop. But of course, if you're on a laptop, you're running your battery down as fast as it's possible to do
Big
so
while
this is happening. But Microsoft does say that it is fixed. And even though you think it's not fixed, it's fixed. We say it's fixed. It's fixed. Okay. I think that clarifies the problem, don't you? It's fixed. We're back to the phones, and our next caller is Roger in Rochester, New York. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Good morning. I just bought a new computer yesterday. It's got Vista Premium in it. And the only problem I seem to be having is for some reason the mouse pointer disappears inside the document. I can see it. I've changed mouse pointers and everything else, and nothing seems to work.
Oh, yeah. This is actually a feature.
A feature?
Yes, it is. What happens is...
Well, I hate it.
Wow. I think you can turn that off. What's happening here...
I sure as hell hope so, or I'll get rid of the computer.
What's happening here is when you start to type, the cursor gets out of your way. But if you move the mouse, it comes back again.
Yeah, the thing of it is that if I want to select one word or something, I can't see where the damn pointer is.
Well, you have to jiggle a little to make it come back. The idea behind that is that it's actually a feature, and you can fix that by going into the mouse control panel there. Go into the control panel
Okay, I was in there, but I didn't find
it. It's
going to
be different for Vista.
Well, yeah, it is. But under pointer, there's a...
You can't
Auto
even
hide.
All right, never mind.
Yeah,
never mind. The yeah. thing is that under pointer, there's a thing that there's an auto hide function, and if you turn that off, the pointer will not disappear anymore.
It does though, because it's already off, and it still disappears in. Well, I haven't tried it in Microsoft Word because I haven't got it loaded yet, but it disappears right. in Notepad.
See, I think that's one of the things where you have to reboot to make that appear, to make that work.
You also, I'm going to say, try turning it on, running it a bit, and then turning it off. Maybe it just forgot it's on.
Right.
And I found a Microsoft Help document on how to change that, and we'll get that posted on the links in a minute.
There you go, and that'll be up on our links and the Soundbites website. That's soundbites.org, bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And you can find that on the, if you go to the homepage and click on the links tab, you will see it as the third link, the list of sites mentioned weekly on the show. On the left hand column, they're by date, so these things will be right up on top. And on the right, they're alphabetically, so it's easy to find things that are older that we have talked about in the past. But again, that'll be up on our links page very, very shortly. Steve is
doing it
busily typing away even as we speak. Our next caller is Steven from...
Time.
Oh, are you telling me that we're going to have to take a break shortly?
Hey, Nick.
No.
We've been doing this show for about how long?
Years and years. Actually, we've been doing this show on and off different stations for 17 years, 8 months, and 24 days. I shouldn't say on and off. We've been continuously on the air for 17 years.
Be specific, please.
8 months and 24 days. I can't
but
give
who's
you,
counting?
I can't quite give you hours, but I can give you the number of days. So apparently I can see that you would like us to take a little break. We'll be back in... I'm just whatever you want, because you are the producer. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Van Wright, Steve Ray.
Let me get my feet up.
Rob, I want to be the boss, Linton. Me, Nick Francesco, and all of you at 49 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
The real problem,
well, yeah.
I said the real problem with this song is I can't get the picture of Tom Cruise in his underwear out of my head. It's ruined the song for me.
Trust me when I tell you that's only a problem for you. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton, terrified out of my mind right now.
54 minutes after the hour. We're all going to come in there with you and leave Steve here by himself. It's Soundbites.
It's just ruined the song for... Of course, Rebecca De Mornay was really nice in that movie, but...
Right. All right, kitties.
She had a thing for trains.
All right, kitties. It's time. Go put on your footy jammies. Grab your teddy bears. Grab your mug of hot cocoa. If we can slap him awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
I got two.
Oh, here we go.
Two rants this week, folks. Oh, all right. Well, you hurt yourself. Yeah, you're not that young. You know?
Not
yeah.
anymore.
All right. Two major complaints for this week.
Here we go.
All right. I've heard of being doing multitasking.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm all for it. But tell you what, to that idiot that was driving through the can of worms, trying to drive and work on his laptop, going through the can of worms, resting it on your steering wheel, get out of my way. Hello, I don't want to be near you. Do your computing at home.
This is why God gave you a parking brake. Yeah.
Literally, I come up and this guy's in the center lane. He's got the laptop resting on top of his steering wheel, trying to move it and do some typing. It's like, no, do one or the other.
Hopefully he was just trying to find a map. But even then.
No, no matter. No, no,
no, no, no, no,
no,
no. It's right up there with the
see,
cell phones.
See, that's one thing
know?
I don't like about the GPSs in the cars now is you got to type in your destinations.
Well, theoretically, you do that before you go.
Hello, yeah. You don't do it as you're going along.
I read the neatest little trick once. I think it was Andy and Otko. You print your directions in nice big letters on a sheet of paper, and then you put it, and in your print setup, you print it reversed, and then you put that sheet of paper on your dashboard, and it reflects into your windscreen. So your front windshield, it looks like you have a holographic heads-up display of your directions.
For daytimes, that's actually pretty nifty. Yeah. What a great idea.
All right, and then the other thing is, we were just talking off here. I had two folks come in, and this is going back to another argument that we're having in the chat, a discussion, I should say, about, you know, these services, you know, Frontier DSL and all these others,
right.
And Earthlink and Net Zero and all that. They're all claiming to be, right. You know, fast, fast, fast. Hello, all these places, no matter what you go with, folks, you know, they can sit there and say, yes, we got fast connection. Yeah, to their server. But once you get out to the internet, and that's literally leaving now, whether it's AOL, you know, their high speed or whatever, once you leave their domain, you're now out on the World Wide Web. That's what people don't understand. It's right. The World Wide Web.
And
you're
you'll only
be
get data as fast as the other machine can send it to you, and
exactly.
That's constant for every service out there.
No, I was getting, oh, no, it's still going to be faster because I got this fast service. How are you going to get it faster from this other guy if he's only sending it to you at a slower speed?
Dave, there's two things. Many people would way prefer to believe somebody else than to actually have to go through the pain of thinking for themselves. And the second thing is, people need to justify what they've spent money on.
Well, see, my Ferrari has a red line at 10,000 RPM, but the Volkswagen only does 2,000 RPM. So the Ferrari's obviously faster, not when you're on a congested city street.
Right, that's exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah. But there is an issue that depending on so many other factors, some places Roadrunner's faster than Frontier, some places Frontier's faster than Roadrunner. It just depends on so many different things.
Well, right. This guy, you know... Okay. But, you know, it was...
What? Rob's either swatting a fly or drying his nails. I don't know what he's doing back there, but he's delivering hand signals that don't seem to make any sense to me. But
that's
what I think he was saying is it's time for us to go. Is that it? Thank you very much. See, all I have to do is start the music, and we will know. So,
we're
kiddies,
professionals. We know that.
It's time for us to give Uncle Dave a shot for the day. We're going to take, go get rid of your footy jammies and wash
out
your
hot cocoa mugs.
Don't
do laptop computing while you're driving near me.
And when you're old enough to drive, don't use your laptop. Of course, by the time you kids are old enough to drive, you'll be doing it out of mental telepathy or something like that. We are going to take a break. The mighty Glenn Lambert's back in again. I know you've been just desperately waiting to hear him again, and he's back to give you the news and the weather and the sports and all the stuff you really listen to Wham for. We'll be back on the other side of the news with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. I didn't mean me and Nick Francesco and you. I meant I am Nick Francesco. Never mind. And it's 59 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's 1180 WHAM.
The 1,000-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM, proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. And Steve, would you like the honors of answering the trivia question?
That sounded more like a bad checkoff than a bad <Yeah. got it. laughs>
No guarantees on the accent there, buddy. I don't do a Scottish accent very well.
Yeah.
That's an easy one, though, for you. I knew you would get it immediately.
Yep.
My favorite is, oh, lad, you didn't tell him how long it'd really take, did you?
No.
I'd expect to keep your reputation as a miracle worker.
Boy, are we going to tell everybody what movie it is?
Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
That's the one.
The one with the whales.
Yeah, right. The one with the whales.
Captain, there'll be whales here.
Transparent aluminum? Ooh.
My favorite line is, you live in space?
I only work in space.
I was born in Iowa. You only work in space.
Right. That's right. Yep.
And so there's this little town in Iowa that has adopted Captain Kirk's birthday. And every year they have this giant town-wide party on the future birthday of Captain Kirk.
Right. Because if you got to have a claim to fame, pretty much anything will do.
There you go.
There you go.
All right.
See you later. Have fun. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Back to the show. And here we go. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll was about who you trust. To whom do you trust? 270 of you voted, making it number 215 on the all-time hit list. Thanks to each and every one of you. And this had come from a story where a large percentage of people trusted Apple as being the most honest and honorable vendor. Our choices were a little different. 51% of you said nobody. 13% of you said local vendors. Well done. 11% said Apple. 8% said Ubuntu, Canonical. 7% said Dell. 5% said something else. 3% said some other Linux. And 3 of you said IBM. Somebody pointed out to me very early that in a Freudian slurp of some sort, I left off Microsoft entirely from this particular poll.
No, we know not to trust them.
Yeah. Apparently, I didn't even need to give you that choice. This week's poll comes from a great story. A U.S. and industry coalition aiming to equip every car and roadside in America with wirelessly connected computers has tapped Linux for the prototype design. The Vehicle Infrastructure Integration Consortium, or VII-C, hopes to lower driver death rates, reduce traffic jams, and media-enable cars before 2017. We'll get cars on the internet before we get cars that fly. The VIIC says that 21,000 of the 43,000 traffic fatalities in 2003 were caused by vehicles leaving the road or entering intersections when they should not have. It hopes a massive network connecting cars to each other and to roadsides can help. Like a lot of large-scale government projects, this one is a long-term effort. If all goes well, it'll roll out between 2015 and 2017. Closer at hand is the deployment decision, which looms in late 2008 or 2009. Meanwhile, over the last 3 months, this consortium has created prototype hardware that will begin to field test in Michigan and California and at Motorola and Delphi sites. Leslie Mulligan, GM of Automotive at Wind River, explained they did a survey on using real-time operating systems but decided on an open-source strategy using Linux because they thought it would bring a broader reach to the community. So the question for the week is they're taking this thing and they're going to create the thing that helps protect our cars from banging into each other using Linux. And the question, of course, is what operating system would you rather have helping you run your car? The choices are alphabetically, at least for the first three, Linux, Mac OS, Windows, Amiga Workbench, and I don't need no stinking help. I don't need no stinking help. And so far, with 80 in, the big winner so far is I don't need no stinking help, followed by Linux, the Mac, Windows, and one person voted for Amiga Workbench, which was kind of an inside joke, and probably the only person I know who would get it got it. Basically, the idea here is go to the Soundbites website at soundbites.org and vote. When you're done voting, look at the little yellowish box underneath there. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
where you can enter more than just clicking a button. You can actually enter a full opinion, which, remember, keep it clean. And so far, we've got 8 people who voted in there. While you're there, take a look around. I put out a newsletter with tips and tricks, rants and raves, websites, interesting places to go, interesting things to do, answer computer questions. It's all there at AskNick.com. In the meantime, that's
AskNick.com.
Oh, we got it. Very good.
So let me fill you in here. I've got to finish my story.
Okay.
Captain Kirk will be born on March 22nd in 2233, so we just missed his birthday.
Yes, we did.
The town wanted to erect, the town is Riverside, Iowa, where Interstate 380 ends and the trek begins, according to the sign. the town wanted to put up a bronze statue of Captain Kirk. Paramount wanted $41,000 for the license.
Mingya!
So they instead put up a scale model of the USS Riverside, which bears a remarkable but not legally indemnable likeness to the Enterprise. And for only $3 a piece, you can buy a vial of Kirk dirt.
Kirk dirt. Or you can just open the car door, lean down, and grab your own. I don't know. Well, I don't know what that's all about, but all right. We're back to the phones. Our next caller is Steven from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Steven. What's your question?
Hey, guys, your last line of help here. I had to...
Oh, sure. Save us for last.
Well, I'm pride myself as being fairly competent on the computer, but this one's got me pretty well stumped. I had to reinstall my Windows yesterday, and reinstalling my drivers for my graphics card, and it installed fine. Started to play one of my games that said that I should, you know, upgrade my drivers, downloading the latest upgrade and stuff. And I went to do that, and it came up with an error, says could not, you know, download, blah, blah, blah. And I uninstalled, tried it again, and then it came up with a thing that says try to set up display adapter with standard VGA driver before running setup. And it would go between, you know, an error and that. And I, you know, looked on the internet, tried to figure out, you know, what could be going on, and I'm completely at a loss.
Steve, a couple questions here first. One, you said you reinstalled Windows. I'm assuming Windows XP?
Yes, XP Home.
Now, you've got Service Pack 2 on there also?
Yes.
And then you went to the Windows Update site and downloaded all the critical patches?
Yes.
Did you also get in there Internet Explorer 7.0?
I am not sure. I know I have Internet Explorer.
But you might want to check and see if Internet Explorer 7.0 is on there.
Because that causes graphic problems.
Yeah, that can cause a number of graphics issues. If you go into your Add Remove programs and look for, at the bottom of the list, Add Remove, and see if Windows Internet Explorer 7.0 was installed. And if it is, uninstall that. Worst case scenario, you can always put it back.
But the other issue is that knowing the error message you got when you were trying to download the driver would help. Because downloading a driver should be nothing more than clicking an icon to download.
Yeah.
Installing that driver, generating an error message, was probably telling you something that you need to do to get that driver to work.
Yeah, I looked for that message, and all it said was error cannot identify, you know, file or something to that effect, but didn't give me a specific message.
There's something to that effect that we're missing, and whatever it was that it actually typed out. In general, and this is for everybody listening, if you get an error message, write it down before you call us.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Stephen, I think your best bet at this point is, as Dave says, to uninstall Internet Explorer 7, go back to 6, and see if that solves the problem.
And
if
also,
not, write down the error message and then call us back. I'm sorry, we're not Kresgen.
It sounds
we're
like,
amazing, but we're not Kresgen.
It sounds like something is corrupted in how the graphic driver is installed.
Mm-hmm. Downloaded.
Or downloaded. Yeah. Check your Add Remove and see if there's a driver there you can remove. Go into the Hardware Manager and remove the graphics card from the Hardware Manager. I download the new driver, download the current driver first, then remove the graphics card. And then the next time Windows boots, it will try to reinstall that graphic card, and this time point it at the new download folder. And hopefully where you install that download should then be the current driver to install.
Yep.
So it sounds like the drivers are partially installed or half installed, and when Windows keeps wanting to go back to a generic VGA because it can't read the driver that didn't install properly.
Okie doke. Our next caller is Bob From Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
A couple of Sundays ago, I called up. You might recall this or not, but I had the problem where I wasn't able to burn DVDs.
Right.
And you recommended Nero Unloaded or something like that.
Right.
Okay. I just want to come back and let you know that that didn't fix the problem. So what Dell decided to do was that they're going to exchange my laptop for another new one. In the meantime...
The whole laptop or just the drive?
The whole laptop.
That's pretty good. Cool, usually they just do pieces.
Yeah, I would go for that deal.
Yeah.
They have a policy that, you know, like my processor is like 2.16. If they don't have that, they'll give it equal to or better. They will never downgrade it.
Right. I would go for that.
Yeah. So you'll probably get a 2.2 or a 2.3 now.
It's a win-win.
Yep.
Right. So in the meantime, when I do receive that in the next couple of days, my concern is when I ship the other laptop back to Dell, I've had PDF files out on that drive before with bank statements, so I want to make sure that drive is clear. So I didn't purchase this yet, but I was out on CompUSA in their store a couple of days ago, and I saw a program called Drive Scrubber 3, and I don't know if that's something I can depend on, that when I run that, it will actually scrub my whole hard drive clean to where no one can recover data on it, you know, look at my financial statements or whatever, but do you recommend a program like that or another program maybe?
Just go in and delete those files. Chances of your drive being, one, most of those files on bank statements and all that are usually password protected. And the odds of somebody there taking that drive thinking, oh, I'm going to look for, you know, data and try to, you know, get into it.
But it has happened. There have been cases where used drives show up on eBay and all the data is still intact.
Yeah, Drive Scrubber 3 is not bad. Hard drive eraser, wipe disk, active kill disk.
Window washer is one that we've talked about before.
Yeah, the folders.
Yeah, but it can be undeleted by someone who tries.
But the point is, he wants to be safe, and this will do it. So, yeah, Drive Scrubber 3 is a good one, you know, other than a complete degausser or taking up an axe to the hard drive.
No, here's even a better idea.
Used to come with one?
No, what he could do?
Used to. I don't know if it still does.
Yeah.
Even simpler, that'll save them money, is just put the original disk that came in with your computer, reinstall Windows fresh from the day one. It formats it. It'll put bare Windows back in there.
Well, what came with the laptop was XP, Service Pack 2.
Well,
yeah, just put it in. Yeah, just put it in, do a fresh install. What it's going to ask you to do is format the drive. It'll delete the partition, reformat it, reinstall Windows XP as though the day you bought it.
Okay, so then no one will be able to recover it.
Well, yes, it still could be recovered, but not by the average human. It would have to be.
The FBI could do it. The NSA could do it.
The format command have a zero format option?
No.
Well, it deletes.
We have that on the Mac. There's a zero format. There's a three-way format. There's an eight-way format. And they say the eight-way format will take a week.
But right. Now, this should, if he deletes, delete the partition, reformat it, like Nick said, them getting it back is going to be pretty hard.
It's really good enough for 90% of what you're looking at. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, you. It's 21 minutes after the hour. Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Even better in 8.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. This is an interesting little tidbit crossing over my two wham job. Jordan Sparks, of course, who won this year's American Idol, has created her first single, This Is My Now, which was the winner of the American Idol songwriting contest. What's interesting is this is already available, the studio recording is available on iTunes. There's an extended play of past performances by Sparks or Blake Lewis, the two finalists. The extended plays cost $3.99 and are available immediately. Sparks has a half a dozen songs up there. Lewis has a half a dozen songs up there. So it isn't, nobody waited to get stuff up on iTunes. It seems to have actually hit iTunes before it's hit the stores. Well, iTunes has become the place to debut new music.
And some of them are iTunes exclusives. And what's really interesting is that one of them, one of them made the Billboard charts, which, you know, the charting of popular songs for an iTunes exclusive song.
You cannot buy it anywhere but off of iTunes.
And
it still hit Billboard.
Yep.
Yeah. It is clear that downloading music is becoming the new way to do things. And I want to remind everybody that EMI's music, a lot of their stuff is now digital restriction management free, which means they no longer prevent you from copying it to other media.
But that,
and that you should probably support that and actually buy it so they will keep on making that available.
But that's it's still illegal to copy it and give it to someone.
I'm not saying for that point. I'm saying it for, I want it on my iPod, I want it on a CD.
Seeing a lot of the analysts keep saying it's copyright free. No, it's not copyright free. It's copy protection free.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You still cannot legally copy it and give it to someone.
Right. But my point is this is an experiment. And unless we support that experiment, it will die.
Now, the annoying thing is that Apple and EMI came out with this announcement that EMI songs are going to be available on iTunes, DRM-free, and at a higher bit rate, which most people find a better idea, in May. Well, May's almost over now, and it hasn't made it yet.
Yeah, but they will.
In time.
We hope. But when it's available, please, please support them. Our next caller is John from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Yes. Hi. How are you today?
Good, and you? Caught me with a mouthful of coffee, see? Were you a waiter in a previous life?
No, but I'm waiting now for an answer. I've been waiting 38 minutes, actually.
I bet you have.
Windows XP, I have that. And I have folders that I have files, you know, Word docs and pics, et cetera. When I open them up, Windows defaults to an icon view, and I want to have it default to something else like lists. How do I change the default?
It's under folder options, I believe.
Well, that changes the default of that window, but I don't think you can change the default for any window.
Well, what you have to do is once you have changed a window, does it stay that way for you?
No.
Yeah, here's the problem. Windows is a little flaky about that. What happens is you make that change, and the theory is if you hit the F5 key, which refreshes the window, it also then remembers that view. And that actually works sometimes.
Okay.
But there is nothing that will guarantee it works every time in every window. And theoretically, once you've hit F5 and refreshed the screen, it's supposed to work for all the child folders. Again, that does not necessarily happen. But it's supposed to.
Well, it's better than what I've been going through for the past 12 months on this.
It may be possible that one of the Tweak UI features will save that setting better than what other Windows do.
Right. But the theory is that works. We've just been testing it here, and that seems to be working. If you set it for the way you want it and then hit F5, it's supposed to remember it. Now, whether it remembers it past a reboot, I don't know, but that's the way it's supposed to work.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Good luck. All right, our next caller.
Well,
yes,
we get customer machines in, and one of the common things in picture folders is to set it to either the film strip on Windows or on the Mac. They'll set the icon size to 128 pixels.
Right.
But there's another setting on the Mac. There's a default command. Do you want to set this window or all windows? And by default, the all windows is on. That's the default.
Yeah.
So they'll set their picture folder to 128 pixel square to have nice big thumbnails, but then that sets all of the other folders too, and
the
then the icons will
overlap
each other.
We ought to make a page of dumb defaults.
Yeah. Yeah, this folder only would be the nicer
default.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. All right, our next caller is Carl from Williamson, New York. Welcome, Carl. What's your question?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I recently took an online test to see what version of Linux would be most recommended for me. You know, they ask you questions.
Yeah, about, sure.
Yeah, and the number one was Kubuntu, and second one was Ubuntu. I've got Ubuntu installed on a partition now. What's the difference between that and Kubuntu?
The difference is Ubuntu, and for those of you who don't know, Ubuntu is a version of Linux. Under Linux, the graphical front end, the graphical user interface, the GUI, there are multiple ones that are available. Ubuntu uses an interface called GNOME, and yes, apparently they do pronounce the G. And it's lovely. I use it every day. It's fast. It's efficient. There are a couple things I don't like about it, but in general, I love it. Yep. Kubuntu uses a GUI named KDE. It's much more Windows-like, and I find it slower and more bloated. Now there are
So it is more Windows like. It is.
There are KDE aficionados who will hate hearing that from me. That's a personal opinion. But all the only difference, real difference between Ubuntu and Kubuntu or Kubuntu, is whether it uses GNOME or KDE as the front end. There are a dozen or more other graphical user interfaces that work under Linux. At one of my laptops at work, I've actually thrown on something called Beryl, B-E-R-Y-L, like the jewel, like the gem, and it gives me a cube. I have four separate desktop faces. It spins around. It does all of the graphical things that the Mac does and that the Vista is supposed to do, plus 100 million more things, and it really slows the machine down, but it's very cool.
Yeah, I got the Ubuntu installed now. I like the way it works, but I can't really use it for my primary system yet because I got to get a different modem. I got a WIN modem now, you know.
There are ways that you can use a WIN modem under Ubuntu.
Yeah, I've started looking into that. It's hard to find the software.
Yeah, because it's a software modem, whereas you want to go to a hardware modem.
Well, a lot of companies have stopped making modems anymore, and a lot of PCs don't come with modems anymore because broadband is so common.
Yeah, right. Well, not where I am.
Right.
It's pretty remote here. One last thing, talking about trivia. You guys going to have trivia contests again? You used to have them.
Yeah, we did. We just need to get back in the swing of getting stuff from vendors to give away and then giving it away.
We'll have to look into that.
We'll have to look into that. It's a good point. Thank you. We will look into that.
Well, here's a bad segue, but here's something we can give out. Did you hear about the guy that had a Google ad? Is your PC virus free? Click here to infect it.
Yeah.
And he's running an ad, and he's made quite a bit of money off of it. Like 500 people have clicked on the button that says click here to infect your PC.
Yeah, yeah. and people are looking at it and clicking
it. It doesn't actually infect your PC.
He's
running it as a social experiment,
right.
But people are doing it.
Right. God bless each and every one of them. Our next caller is Lance from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Lance. What's your question?
Same question I had last week.
Okay.
How to get the visual alert on a message. I did what you told me and canceled and unchecked visual alert in the properties, and I not only did not get the visual alert, I lost the beep alert. So I don't know what to do. You still there?
Yeah, we're just... We're looking up one in your previous...
What program was this you were trying to get the
alerts
in? This
was Thunderbird, and he wanted to get the sound alert for when he had new mail come in. And he was getting a visual, and Nick had...
No, I was all the way around. I was getting a sound, but no visual.
All right, so the
and
reverse.
And he told me to uncheck the visual, and I get both, which then... Sounds kind of strange, but it was worse instead of better.
Well, sometimes, as we mentioned to previous callers, sometimes the settings are sort of ignored. So if you uncheck visual alerts and then quit Thunderbird, reboot the computer, launch it back, and then check it again, it may now remember to give it to you.
Well, so
both Nick and
exactly
I are digging through
I
the Thunderbird
did,
options.
And it's back to where it was. I do get the beep, but no visual alert.
So you've got the beep, but you still don't get a visual alert. Now,
correct.
By visual alert, what do you mean?
Like tells me which
of my two usernames has how many messages.
And where
now,
do you...
I get that. Once I have downloaded the messages, I get a visual alert that tells me how many I just downloaded. But I want it beforehand so I know which username I should download.
Oh, that you'll never get. The program
asking.
Cannot know if you have new mail until it goes and looks and downloads it.
Are you saying that
it
you
used to do that?
Well, hold on a second now. When have you unchecked the option in the account settings to check for new mail every X minutes?
No, it checks every 5 minutes or something.
Then it should be downloading them and telling you what it's gotten. If you've told it...
No, it doesn't actually download the messages until I tell it to.
So then you...
With a
Yeah, you must have turned off the automatically check for messages.
So it never tells you you've got new messages?
No. It gives me a beep that tells me there's something, but it doesn't tell me where.
And then if you go to that particular
email account,
do you see the new messages?
Not until I tell it, Control T.
Then you have indeed turned off check for new messages every X minutes. Because that's the thing that downloads the messages for you.
I get the beep, but not the download. I never did get the beep download.
The beep must mean something else. It cannot know if you have new messages until it checks and downloads them.
Yeah, it can't.
It checks but does not download. It never did. Even the older versions of Thunderbird.
Well, sometimes it's a preference to check but not download messages over XK. But it still has to download something to know there's mail there.
Yeah, if you want to leave them up.
Here we go. Are you using POP or IMAP?
What's that?
Are you using POP or IMAP?
I'm using Windows 2000 XP.
No, what type of mail are you using, POP or IMAP, inside of Thunderbird?
Oh, POP.
POP mail must be downloaded to your computer before it knows you have mail.
So somewhere you have told it not to download the mail. That little thing that pops up and tells you how many messages are in what account only happens when the mail is downloaded. If you have told it don't download the mail, you will not see that pop up until you download the messages.
Well, when I see that pop up, and used to anyhow, and go to that address, the messages are not there until I tell it to get new messages. I click on the icon, get messages. Then they're there.
Right.
It's already told me, or used to, tell me which user had new messages.
It can't know that until it downloads them.
Try it. Go into your settings, your account settings, and make sure that you have checked. Check for new mail messages every 10 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. Make sure that's checked.
See, I don't like setting that to more than like half an hour hour.
I don't care what it is. But the point is, mm-hmm. until try that, rather than arguing about it, try it and let us know what the result
is. We used to use a program called Finger that would look at your mail server to see if there was mail. Maybe he used to have that running.
I don't know. There's a bunch of them. Biff is another one. We're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Soundbites.
I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
44 minutes after the hour, and it's a big country, and we're in it. This is my country. All right. We're back,
Steve's got an answer.
Maybe.
It won't hurt.
Well, there's a Thunderbird add-on called Growl that will display a little pop-up window when you get a new message. When you have the automatically check for messages turned on. But I think it's Mac only, which is interesting. At least the one I found appears to be Mac only. So there's probably
something
similar
for Windows.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, there's a thought. All right, before we get back to the phones, for those of you waiting for XP Service Pack 3, we'll indeed have to wait until next year. Microsoft claimed a recent press release saying otherwise was a mistake. The next version of the security patches and bug fixes that's the roll-up for the still popular Windows XP operating system was mentioned twice in a Microsoft statement posted from Interop on Monday. The release, which touted the interoperable protocol efforts between Juniper Networks and Microsoft, said at one point that Windows Vista supports this protocol today, and Windows Server 2008 and Windows XP Service Pack 3 will support it as well later this year. This, of course, started the bloggers and the news outlets going crazy that Microsoft has changed the launch date for Service Pack 3 from its official timetable of the first half of 2008. Microsoft says, no, we're still not talking specifics, but I do want to point out that the accurate timetable is the one that was originally published for Service Pack 3. So those of you who were hoping that you would actually get your service packs sooner, ain't going to happen. Our next caller is Phil, calling in from Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Now, Phil, are you listening on a skip or online?
I'm listening online.
Cool.
Thank you. This is great. We've got them from all over the country today. What's your question, Phil?
Nick, I've got a Toshiba laptop computer, and I'm trying to copy back up some pictures that I've taken, back those up several folders onto a disk, a CD.
Sure.
And when I do so, I get a message that says the CD drive messages, the D is not accessible, incorrect function. And
what program are you using to burn these disks?
Yeah.
It's AC/DC for Pentax 2.0.
Is this something that came with your camera?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Now,
you need a burning program for the burner, something like Nero or EasyCD Creator.
Well, here's my first question. Are you sure your laptop has a CD burner in it?
Yes, it does. It says, you know, that it says it both reads and writes.
Okay.
Yeah. The disks that we're using are music CDR disks. Could that be the problem?
Not usually.
Not specifically, but there's different redundancy built into audio disks versus data disks. You don't want to use an audio disk for data.
Right. I mean, you can get, you know,
You can, but
you don't want to. you shouldn't.
Get, cheaper ones are less, you know, inexpensive. You can get ones that are for photos that have a longer shelf life and everything else that we've talked about before. But, depending on how old your machine is, you might want to look into seeing if this is even a DVD burner, because most of the newer laptops now come with both CD/DVD burning capabilities. And you're going to want to, like Steve said, look to see if it's using like Nero or Easy Creator to actually burn your photo CDs to either CD or DVD.
Yeah, in general, when Toshiba sends you a laptop with a burner in it, they load burning software to it. So you should find somewhere in your menus under, you know, Start Program Files, there should be a menu choice somewhere for Nero or Easy Creator or Roxio or one of those. And that's the program you should probably use for burning, since it is matched to the DVD or the CD burner.
But you have to start with the camera software to get the pictures from the camera to the computer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Save the pictures from the computer, from the camera to the computer in a folder,
and then
burn that folder to the CD.
To the CD, right. So it's a several step process.
Right.
Well, a lot of folks are also going, which is just as cheap, is buying an external hard drive and just backing them up to an external hard drive also.
That's true.
Click drag.
But either one works, and particularly if you're going to send it to somebody, obviously you want to save them to a CD or a DVD.
Yep.
But try that, Phil, and let us know.
Okay.
And remember to ask your local station why they're not carrying this show. Dag nabbit. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe. Yes, indeed. In case you haven't been paying attention, that's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Soon. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 54 minutes after the hour on Soundbites. We've got an answer, a Thunderbird answer. I hope that that Lance is still listening, because John from Penfield, they're both in Penfield, so maybe they can just meet and chat this out at a coffee shop. John from Penfield has an answer to Lance's question. John?
Hi, guys. I have my Thunderbird set up the way I think he wants to, okay? I go out and check for messages every so often and don't automatically download them.
Yep.
And then when I have new messages on the server, I get a beep, and then I also get a little envelope down on the taskbar, and I think that's the visual he's talking about.
Yep.
And the way I do that is that on the server settings, I check check for messages at startup, check for every so often, but I don't check the box to automatically download.
Right. So
and then within options, okay, under in tools and go to options, and under the general tab, it says when a new message arrives, show alert and play a sound.
Yeah, that's the one he was having trouble with.
So I've kept both those checked.
Okay, but I think what he wants to do is, at least on my Linux box, I can get a little pop-up that says you just got, you know, a new message from whichever account. And so what you're saying is if he checks both, check for new messages and download new messages, he'll get the result he wants.
You don't have to check download.
It depends on what it is that he wants for the visual. He wants to know not just that he got a message, but which account got a message.
And when you turn it, when it downloads it, it will pop up that little window that says, you know, John just sent you a new message on, you know, the party this weekend.
Right.
That may be the visual notification. Right. And you have
to, and that has to be both check for new messages and download new messages.
Right.
In order to see that. Thank you very much, John. I appreciate that. Our next caller is Mary from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mary. What's your question?
Hi, real quick. My bank just sent a note saying they will no longer be sending paper statements monthly, and we have to do online accounts, and I am terrified of banking online. What do you think?
It's a whole lot safer than handing your credit card to a waiter that disappears with it for 20 minutes.
I'm doing that paranoid thing where I follow them now. They think I'm crazy.
Oh, well, why not? The thing is, if you really want your statements, you're right, it's going to have to be online. As long as you make sure it's a secure connection, as long as you're sure your machine is clean of viruses and Trojans and stuff.
Boy,
well,
that's
yeah.
a big if.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who are actually buying second cheap computers and putting Linux on them just to get their bank statements because they know that there are a lot fewer viruses for Linux and that they can secure it easier.
Same thing with the Mac.
Same thing with the Mac. But so I don't know what to tell you about this, but it is, you know, all other things equal, it is very safe. But you have to make sure your machine is clean.
When you go to your banking site, or in this in general for anything where you're buying something or you're going to put your credit card number in, make sure the address at the top of the screen says HTTPS for secure, and then there should be a little padlock icon somewhere on the screen.
And just that along the bottom.
Along the bottom, depending on what browser, sometimes you're on the bottom of the window, sometimes the top of the window.
And I think this is true with any bank, and I haven't heard contrary. They will never send you an email asking you to update, go to their website and update any personal information.
Well, they might send that, but they'll say go to the website and log in. They won't give you a link.
Right.
This week I got three separate commands from banks to go in and update my information. None of those banks actually have, I don't have a bank, I don't have an account at any of those banks.
Any of those.
Right.
And if you're in doubt, the safest rule of thumb is to always call the bank and verify.
Right, but Mary, never click on a link in the email.
But to get back to your question, Mary, it is semi-safe. I'm sorry, but it is semi-safe. As long as you're sure your system is clean, it is very safe. But the question is, how clean are you? And that's particularly with Windows, that's very hard to answer. I'm sorry. We're done for another week, as you can tell by the music going on behind me and the dirty looks I'm getting from Rob. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Please call earlier and more often next week, the Chicago style of calling in. We are done. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. We will be back here next week. And thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks and thanks especially to our veterans and to those of us who are serving overseas. God bless each and every one of you. This is Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.